Good morning. Good to be together. Happy Mother's Day. Good Lord's Day. If you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Philemon in the New Testament, find Philemon. That's right after Titus. That is right before Hebrews. It can be a little hard to find. We've been there for a couple of weeks. But it is very short. It's just one page in my Bible. And we've been doing this sermon series going through Philemon. We'll finish it today. The art and heart of reconciliation, because really that is what Philemon is all about. In fact, the past couple of weeks, like week one, we talked about sharing your faith. And we discussed how that's not exactly what you're thinking. Like, share your faith with other Christians. And then on week two, we talked about being, that's last week, a reconciled reconciler. And so now this morning, we're looking at verses 17 through 25, and the title is Holding Out the Right Hand of Fellowship. All right. Let me give you a summary of Philemon. It's a short book, but I just wanted to give you, I just sat down and I thought, you know, I've been studying this book. We've been teaching through it. Let me just in case you missed one of the weeks or you haven't been here until this morning, let me just read this to you if you'll read along. This is what's been going on. This is what's happening in the book of Philemon, all right? Philemon is a short New Testament book in the form of a personal letter written by Paul in Rome to his friend Philemon, who is in Colossae. The man Philemon is a wealthy Christian who hosts the Colossian church in his home. Philemon's household servant or slave, Onesimus, had cheated and legally wronged him by abandoning his position and escaping as a fugitive to Rome. However, God orchestrates for Onesimus to run into the Apostle Paul in Rome, to hear the gospel of grace, and to become a genuine believer in and disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, this new brother in Christ, Onesimus, is being sent back to Philemon by Paul along with this letter. Paul's letter, both directly and indirectly, is asking Philemon to do the Christian thing, all right? Which is to forgive, to be reconciled with, to welcome back, to love his now new brother in Christ, Onesimus. That's it. That's a summary. All right. One of the things that's interesting about Philemon is that there's art in it. There's skill in it. It's the art and heart of reconciliation. There actually, I would say, is humor in this letter because of some of the ways that Paul asks him to do things. It's almost borderline manipulative. It's not manipulative though, but it's funny. You'll see. You've seen. I'll read you this quote from one, pastor and commentator about Philemon from William Barclay. He says this, the letter of Philemon is skillfully designed to constrain Philemon to accept Paul's request, and yet at the same time is extremely unclear precisely what Paul is requesting. That's Philemon. And so it's an interesting letter. You know exactly what Paul is saying, but you don't actually know. And that's what we have. So this morning we're looking at this verses 17 through 25. We're finishing it. And again, I said the title is The Right Hand of Fellowship. Maybe you've heard that phrase before. I have, and I think you have, but it comes from the Bible. And there's this place in Galatians, another book in the New Testament, where Paul is recounting when he went to Jerusalem, and he says that Peter, one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, and James and John, they extended the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me. Paul says that in Galatians 2. What's he saying there? Well, you know. He's saying they accepted us. They let us in. They accepted us. They treated us as brothers in Christ. The right hand of fellowship. The fellowship difference. That would be another title. What is fellowship? What does fellowship do? This unique Christian community, fellowship. That's where we're going this morning. So let me now read to you verse 17 through 25, and then I'm going to pray, and then we have 4 points this morning. So look at verse 17, if you will. Again, holding out the right hand of fellowship. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Yours and yours and yours. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. We pray your grace would be with our spirits through the receiving of your word this morning. Lord, we are thankful for Mother's Day and mothers, and for many of us perhaps to have a meal today. But God, we ask that this would be a meal too. That you would feed us, that we would be encouraged by your word now as we finish this study, as we look at these verses in Philemon. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So holding out the right hand of fellowship. And this passage, these verses, 17 to 25, there are four, like if you like grammar, there are four commands, there are four imperatives, you know, bossy words, all right? There are four. And much like many of Paul's letters, that is the New Testament, his letters, the end of those letters, there can be these sort of rapid fire strings of commands. So we have that in Philemon. There are four. They are those four commands. The first one is to receive. That's in verse 17. The second one is to charge something. The third one is to refresh, and the fourth one is to prepare. And so our four points kind of go along with these four commands this morning. And so the first point this morning is that fellowship welcomes the sinner. Fellowship welcomes the sinner. So look at verse 17. It says, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me." Now remember, this is Paul, and he's talking to Philemon, and he's saying, you need to receive Onesimus, this slave, the way you would receive me, the apostle. Same reception, same limo driver, same sign, same confetti, same party when he gets there, as if it were I getting there. You need to receive him as if he's me. That's what Paul's saying. So fellowship welcomes the sinner. Remember who Onesimus is. He is a slave, so he's lower class. Already, just from his worldly stature, it would not make sense to give him the same welcome as an apostle. But also, he has sinned against Philemon. Yet still, he's called to welcome him as he would welcome Paul. This feels so similar to the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15. There are so many. I've enjoyed finding those parallels as I've studied Philemon. But note here the conditional statement. Do you see it? It says, so if, right? If you consider me your partner, then do this. It's a conditional statement. You've seen the conditional statement at Arby's, right? Arby's, you know, we've got the meats, okay? Arby's, If you're at Arby's and you're walking out, if you could go in, I don't know if anyone really goes into Arby's. It's more of a drive-through, you know. But people do go in. I've been. And when you leave, there's a bell. Have you seen this? Anybody seen the bell in Arby's? And it says, if your service was excellent, ring the bell. It's worth going one time inside just for this. And so what is that? That's a conditional statement. If your service was excellent, then ring the bell. That's what that is. The point is that, here's the thing. There are blessings and obligations that come with relationships. And so as we, when you become a Christian and you enter into like the relationships that we call like the body of Christ or a church, there are blessings with that. Amen. Thankful for those. There are also obligations. There are. And the fact that there are obligations that come with relationships is not a uniquely Christian thing. It's something we all understand and consent to. For example, marriage. If, conditional, we are married, let me have a copy of your car key. Yeah. Like, we're married now. Let me have a copy in case you ever lose your keys. Okay, got it. That's not a Christian thing. That's just an obligation of a conditional relationship. Here's another one. If you can prove through DNA that Elon Musk is your father, then you could be entitled to millions in child support. If, conditional, then there's an obligation. You see? And so the point is that there are obligations that come with this koinonia. He uses the word, if you consider me a partner, if you consider me fellowship, then what does he say? He says, receive him. That's the command. Literally, it says, receive him as me. That's what it says. The NIV puts it this way, to welcome him, the NASB, to accept him. The Good News Translation says, welcome him back. Again, receive him. This is the call to all of us as Christians. Think of this. I told, the, you know, we have people that serve on Sundays, and there's like the welcome team, the greeters. I told the leaders, I said, hey, make sure you pay attention on this sermon. Like there's commands to welcome people. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That's the same word. Welcome. Receive. Jesus in Luke 15:2 was accused of something. What do you think it was? Let's look. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Fellowship welcomes the sinner because Christ has welcomed us and we're sinners. And think of it, everyone wants to be welcomed. Everyone wants a true friend like Paul is being here for Onesimus. Look at this, just think of how he is advocating for another. Think of how he is leveraging his influence as an apostle, writing a letter to a small church in Colossae. He's leveraging his influence for his brother's good. Everyone wants a friend like that. Well, that's a great example to us. How can you or I advocate for someone else? How can we use our influence for the good of another? Paul had a great example too, right? Jesus. Our advocate, Jesus, the one who leveraged his whole life to the point of death on a cross for our good. Fellowship welcomes the sinner, holding out the right hand of fellowship. Number two, fellowship does not let money be an obstacle. Fellowship does not let money be an obstacle. It says in verse 18, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Okay, again, we have the word if. Another conditional thing, right? We're not going to go back through it. I'm not going to give Arby's examples again. But you see it here. It's like, if this has happened, then do this. If behavior is this, then behavior is this. That's what he's saying. If he has wronged you at all. Now, there's some confusion and some debate about what Paul is saying here in verse 18. Why would he say this? Is it not clear that Onesimus has done something wrong? Does Paul not know that the wrong thing has been done? Yeah, so people say, well, then that leads to all kinds of fancy theories. Like, well, maybe Onesimus actually didn't do anything wrong. Maybe he traveled to Rome to see if Paul could come mediate between him and Father. There's all kinds of fancy theories, but listen. Maybe it's as simple as this. Paul brings up the topic of the wrong Onesimus has done and the debt that he owes because he's pretty sure that is the case. He knows that's the case. But he phrases it this way, if, because he may not know the exact detail or the amount of the debt as Philemon would see it. And so he says it this way, in verse 18. All right? So continuing, what does he say though? What does he say? Charge that to my account. Charge that to my account. This is the command. It's clearly speaking of charging one's financial obligation to the account of another. He's basically saying, swipe my debit card. He's saying, put it on my tab. He's saying, charge it, this meal to room 521. That is Saul of Tarsus or Paul. Please charge it to my account. His debt to my account. Isn't there such a profound reflection of what God has done for us through the cross of Christ? It's unmistakable. Paul's, what he's doing here for Onesimus and what he's asking Philemon to do is cross-shaped. It's Christian. You know, at the cross, Jesus basically looks to the Father in heaven, our holy God, and Jesus, God the Son, says this, if they have wronged you or owe you anything, and we do, speaking of you and me, then charge all of that to my account. My account will represent them. They get my righteousness. I will take their debt upon me and pay for it on the cross. That's the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way, for our sake, he, that is God, made him, that is Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. One of my favorite quotes, and I will admit this quote uses one long word in it, but I'll tell you what that word means. But this quote, I love John Owen. He says this, we ourselves have done nothing of what is imputed to us. To impute means to credit to someone else. We ourselves have done nothing of what is imputed to us. The righteousness of Christ that is imputed to us, we ourselves have done nothing, nor Christ anything of what is imputed to him, our sin. Charge that to my account. Listen to Paul. So amazing. We're still in point two here. I want to look at verse 19 now. That was just verse 18. That was the first verse of point two. The point is, fellowship does not let money be an obstacle. Look at verse 19. It says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. Paul says that in lots of his letters, and he always signed his letters. We know that. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. It's interesting, though. He's doing it here, not in the last verse, but in verse 19. Why? Because this is the IOU. This is the financial part. He's like, I write this in my own hand. I will repay it. He says, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Okay. So wait, what do you mean to say nothing of it? You just said it. What's happening here? This, I told you, is humorous. You have these kind of conversations all the time, though, right? You're like, I don't mean to be rude, but what's coming? You know, I don't really want to say it, but I feel like it's kind of relevant, so I'm going to say it. Well, then you did want to say it because you're saying it. Like, that's what he's doing here. He's making reference to the fact, Paul is, that he led Philemon to the Lord. He shared the gospel with Philemon. He helped Philemon to become a Christian, to have eternal life, to have his sins paid for forever, to be able to go to heaven. Paul was instrumental. Paul didn't save Philemon, but Paul was the instrument that God used to see Philemon become a Christian. And he's saying, what financial number would you attach to that, Philemon? In other words, he's saying, I know I'm putting myself in debt to you by saying I'll pay off Onesimus' debt, and I will, but just don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. I don't really want to, but I'm going to. You kind of owe me like a much bigger debt. Just sort of puts it out there. I don't know. Maybe he's just hoping that Philemon won't actually charge him. I don't know. What can Philemon even do? You know, we do this. When I was In college, I remember being part of a college ministry, and we would always have like a fall retreat. And I remember I did announcements sometimes, and the big thing is like, make sure you share with people that we have scholarships. So in other words, don't let finances be a reason that you don't go on this fall retreat. We have scholarships. What's happening there? You know, we're trying to remove any obstacle, like a practical obstacle, an excuse that someone might use to prevent themselves from getting this really good thing. We do this all the time. That's what Paul's doing here. That's where the point is. Fellowship does not let money be an obstacle to reconciliation. Money has a way of getting in the way of things. Oh, it does. Especially relationships. Paul's goal is reconciliation in the fellowship of believers. So again, holding out the right hand of fellowship. Fellowship welcomes the sinner. Fellowship does not let money be an obstacle. No, number three, fellowship seeks to understand the weary heart and refresh it in Christ. Okay. Verse 20. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart. It's like Paul's getting real vulnerable here. And he says, yeah, I said I didn't want to say it, but then I said it. All right, let me now get really honest. I do want something from you, Philemon. I need something. I need you to refresh my heart in Christ. He has, in verse 7, already talked about the fact that Philemon is known for refreshing the hearts of the saints. And it's like Paul is now saying, let me be one of those saints. Refresh my heart in Christ. That's what he's saying. It's exemplary to us. You might make a note of this because I see that Christians always struggle so much with this. It's exemplary how Paul vulnerably says what he needs. I don't want you to guess what I need. I'll tell you. Refresh my heart in Christ. I need refreshment. I need it. Let's unpack this request. Refresh my heart in Christ. What does that even mean? How do you do that? What does that look like? He's not asking for a massage. He doesn't say refresh my back in Christ. He's not asking for a Gatorade. He doesn't say refresh my thirst in Christ. He says refresh my heart. So Philemon, as a student of this situation, needs to ask the question, what does it mean to refresh his heart? So Philemon must ask and seek to understand, what is it that has made Paul's heart weary? And it's not this big riddle. Think about it. Paul's kid in the faith, Onesimus, is in trouble, and it's weighing on his heart badly. That's why he wrote Philemon. General principle, just something to know. I think we all know this, but just in case, I know sometimes we don't know things. So listen, let me just say the obvious. People care about their kids a lot. If you don't have kids, then apply it this way. People care about their family a lot. People care about those close to them a lot. It weighs on their hearts constantly. If you want to refresh the heart of a fellow Christian, do something to help out with their kids. If you want it to be in Christ, do something that's spiritually focused as a blessing to their kids. That's just common sense and simple, right? 3 John says it this way in chapter 1, verse 4. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. So what is making Paul's heart weary? That his kid in the faith, Onesimus, is going through something very hard and he's unsure of what's going to happen. And his other kid in the faith, Philemon, needs to do something to make the right thing happen. And so there's a lot of unknowns and his heart is weary from it. So Philemon can refresh his heart by doing something great and good for Paul's kid. But what about the in Christ part? Let's unpack that for a second. What does that mean? One scholar says it means it's the domain where they all are. Paul's in Christ, Philemon's in Christ, Onesimus now in Christ. So it's just all in Christ. Okay. But here's the question. How would you refresh a person's heart in Christ today, if asked? Like the in Christ part. Like, what does that look like? I think most of us would probably answer that question by saying something like, pray for them? In Jesus' name, pray for them? Share a fitting Bible verse for their situation and like point them to Jesus. Like that would do it, right? Or what about this one? I'm sure you all agree. Tell them a really good story of Jesus truly at work that would build their faith and refresh their heart. Isn't that encouraging? Yes. So maybe that's what it would look like to refresh a person's heart in Christ. Okay, listen. That's absolutely right. I believe what Paul is saying here is exactly that. He's saying to Philemon, brother, tell my weary heart a good story of Jesus truly at work in your life, in Onesimus's life, in the church there at Colossae. Tell me a good story of Jesus being real, of him really working, of our faith being real, of him truly at work in you. As an answer to my prayer, the hope of my fatherly heart between you and Onesimus. In other words, Paul walks away from this situation, not praising Philemon, but praising Jesus, because what Philemon did was an answer to all of Paul's prayers to Jesus, that Jesus would be working in Philemon's life. That's the point. So he says, refresh my heart in Christ. Verse 20 again. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. One application. It would be negligent not to mention this at this moment. Those who minister to the children in our church, those who minister to the teenagers and the youth in our church, you are refreshers of the hearts of your brothers and sisters in Christ who care so deeply and whose hearts are weary for their children. And that is such an important ministry. So, holding up the right hand of fellowship, welcomes the sinner, doesn't let money be an obstacle, seeks to understand the weary heart and refresh it in Christ. And now fellowship goes the extra mile, or 1,300 miles. So let's look now at verses 21 through 25, all right? I know that your insert says through verse 24, bear with that typo. We're going all the way. So verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. You know, Paul, master of getting Philemon to do what is needed without telling him directly what to do. Paul's saying, Philemon, you are the kind of person who does more than asked. Paul's saying, Philemon, I believe in you. I believe the best about you. Fellowship believes the best. He's going to do more than is asked. That's what fellowship should be like. Fellowship goes the extra mile. Fellowship's not a place where we just sort of collude with each other and just do average for each other. No, fellowship goes the extra mile. Fellowship is excellent. Fellowship is prepared. That's the command. He says in verse 22, at the same time, do you see it? Prepare. Prepare a guest room for me. For I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Then he names some people. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Think of this. In these verses, in this section under this point, Paul is saying, Philemon, I'm coming to stay with you. I'm coming to visit you, Philemon. Some people read that and they're like, man, there's so much pressure. He's like, Philemon, do the right thing with Onesimus. I'm sending him back first, and then I will be staying with you to just make sure things happen the way I was hoping. Some people read that and they're like, man, this Paul guy. And I think there's some of that maybe here, but also consider how encouraging it must have been for Philemon just to think, Paul's coming to stay with me. Paul's never been to Colossae. Paul just told me to get a room ready for him. He likes me. He wants to come hang out with me. What an encouragement. Fellowship goes the extra mile. Paul's like, Philemon, my fellowship with you is going to go the extra 1,300 miles from Rome to Colossae. I'm coming. I want to stay with you, Philemon. Then he says, all these people want to say hi to you, Philemon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Jesus, sends greetings to you, Philemon. He's thinking of you. He wants to say hello to you, Philemon. And so does Mark, one of the writers of the gospel, right? Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. So now we got two writers of gospels in the New Testament. Paul also, all these people want to say, hey, Philemon. They like you. They want to send greetings to you. Why is this important? Here's what I think. It's almost like Paul is saying, yeah, Philemon, you do have to deal with this hard relational thing with Onesimus. And hard things are not fun. And you got to lean into your faith, and you got to lean into God's grace and for his strength, and you got to forgive Onesimus and do the right things here. But Philemon, that's not the sum total of your community in the body of Christ. You are not alone. You are loved. Fellowship for you, Philemon, goes the extra mile. All the saints love you, Philemon. I love you. I'm coming to stay with you. Be encouraged. Forgive Onesimus, but be encouraged. Even more than Paul and these brothers telling Philemon, hello, we love you. You know what's more encouraging than that? What's more helpful than that for Philemon to do what's asked? The answer is verse 25. Let's read it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's the key. That's the key to strength, to joy, to encouragement. And so as we conclude, just a reminder of where we've been this morning, holding out the right hand of fellowship. Fellowship welcomes the sinner. Have you received the welcome of Jesus Christ, knowing that you're a sinner? Have you put your faith in Jesus? And how he did not let cost prevent that reconciliation between the Father and you. Have you put your faith in Jesus, what he's done for you on the cross? Fellowship doesn't let money be an obstacle. Fellowship seeks to understand the weary heart and refresh it in Christ. Friends, let's refresh one another's hearts. And fellowship goes the extra mile. May our study of Philemon and may the help of Christ enable this body of believers to be a people that extend the right hand of fellowship. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for this book study of Philemon and where it's taken us and where it now has dropped us off. And Lord, we just pray, God, that we would be a people who are not just hearers of your word, but doers. Maybe you've impressed something on someone's heart this morning that we need to sit with that before we even sing this next song. Maybe even write it down. So God, may we be people who are sensitive to your spirit, who are looking to come to church to encounter you and to be changed. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.